Well, we'll see how far we get in this message today, because my voice is on the edge here this morning. But as I was preparing this week, I said, Lord, what do you want to speak about? And I got this message, and I want you to hear. This is the title of the message. It's all about people. Now, before you stone me, let me get the message out, okay? It's all about people. And I want to go as far as to say we're all about people. I look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 to 11. It says, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And it says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And it's important to remember that it's not that we loved God, but that he first loved us. And it's so easy to forget that, because you know what? We're human, and our nature is selfish. And so we begin to think as we grow in God that, you know what? I'm special. I'm holy. I've arrived. I'm climbing the corporate ladder of spirituality, and we don't say it, but subconsciously we begin to act that way, and we forget that it's not that we went after God, but that God first loved us. Amen? And it's easy to forget. He saved us, and he saved us when we came to a place of humility. See, the Bible says it's God's desire that none should perish, but all should come to the saving knowledge of Christ. But see, the issue is, our part is to humble ourselves, because God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And that's why so many of us found God at the bottom of the barrel when everything was pulled out from under us, and we began to cry out to God, and God said, there's a heart I can answer. Now, I don't think you have to come to that place. I think if you're wise or you're smart and you search the scripture, you'll see, hey, I'm in need of Christ. You don't have to wait till you're at the bottom of the barrel. Amen? But God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And God's love was manifested through his Son. God's love looks like Jesus. You say, what does God's love look like? Look at Jesus. Amen? See, Jesus, he endured suffering by men. Right? Jesus was beat by men and women. I'm sure maybe they had some women there. I don't know. Definitely men. Jesus was insulted by the very people he went to heal and minister to, didn't he? Jesus was mocked by the religious people who were supposed to be searching the scripture to see that he was the prophecy that Moses had put forth, and they didn't even identify and recognize who he was. They insulted and they mocked him, and then he was betrayed. On top of that, he was betrayed by his closest friends. And what does he do on the cross? He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. I mean, Jesus is the image of the love of God that was manifested to the world. And in fact, John chapter 1, verse 17 says this. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. Amen? Other translation says, his grace and truth. He is the manifestation of the love of God. If you reject Jesus, you reject the love of the Father. There is only one way by which you might be saved, and that is through Christ. Amen? And so you can only go in through Christ. So here we have here, the love of God was manifested, and people around the world today are rejecting Jesus, and when they reject Jesus, they reject the love of the Father. Amen? And God loves people unconditionally, and he wants to reach people, but he cannot compromise truth. There's truth that's set in order. You cannot defy the law of gravity, and you cannot defy the law of retribution, because the Bible says, a soul that sins shall die. And Jesus stood on Gethsemane's hill, and he said, God, if there's another way, please take this cup from me. And God said, there is no other way. The soul that sins shall die. It's either you or it's them. Amen? And so here's the balance. God is love. His love is unconditional. It's amazing. But he will not and cannot compromise truth. It's a law. And if it wasn't, he would have said, okay, I'll find another way. And he would have found another way to save us without anybody getting hurt. But it doesn't work that way. Amen? The love of God is phenomenal. Zephaniah 3:7 says here, For the Lord your God is living among you. He's a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Do you know, you think sometimes some of you lock yourself away in your room, and I did this the other day, and I locked the kids out of the room and everything, and I was worshiping God, just had the music on. All of a sudden, I hear banging on the door, and I open it up, and it's my wife. I thought she was gone. And she goes, what are you doing locking me out? I said, I thought you were gone. Anyway, that's another story. So I'm worshiping the Lord, having this great time in the presence of God, enjoying with joy, just enjoying the presence of God. How many have done that before? Well, the Bible says God does that over you. I don't know what that looks like, but God sings, and this is Old Testament. This isn't even New Covenant. This is Old Covenant. It says that God, he actually rejoices over you with joyful songs. He walks around heaven going, oh, I love Jane so much. She's my beautiful daughter. You know, whatever he does. And you're sitting down here on earth trying to appease him, and he's just there just loving on you. Isn't that an awesome picture that God sings over you? I think it's exciting. The New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16 takes it a little bit different. In the Old Testament, it said that the Lord God will live among you, but here it says, do you not know and understand? You, the church, are the temple of the living God, and the Spirit of God dwells permanently in you. Isn't that good news? No longer is God just with you, but he's in you. That's good news. And so I'm excited this morning because I want to talk about the title of my message, which is this, you know, it's all about people. And I heard this, actually, I was reading a book about a church. Their slogan in the States is, it's, we're all about people. I have a drink, thank you. We're all about people. And I thought, that sounds actually very humanistic. I don't like that. But then I began to read the vision and begin to look at why they say that, and it just blew me away. And so I want to share that with you this morning, because the truth of the matter is here. The first 15 years of ministry for myself, it was all about pressing into God for power, direction. I wanted to know God. How many say, have ever been in a place you just want to know God more? And that's a good thing. And so I'm pressing into God, fasting and praying, doing all these things. And I've discovered something very quickly, that God is not concerned about himself. It might be a revelation to you, but God really isn't concerned about himself. And that's what amazed me the most, because as I would begin to seek God, God would begin to reveal. I'd be saying, God, reveal your ways, God. Show me your glory. I want to know who you are. Would you bless me? And you know what would happen? God would begin to talk to me about going out and blessing and praying and touching and healing others. I'm saying, Lord, I just want to get to know you. And God would begin to say, okay, you know, I'll tell you a story. One day, you know, I was seeking the Lord. I just want to know you more and all of this. And God, show me your way. I want to walk in the direction you want me to go in life. And I'm praying this. And all of a sudden, I'm in my basement. I get a craving for a Timmy's. Double-double coffee. I mean, it was almost like, you know, I used to do a little bit of drugs, and you get a little bit of addicted to that stuff in the past, way back. And it was kind of like that. It's like, I need my next hit of coffee. And it was weird. I was like, I got to have a Timmy's. So I went upstairs. I got coffee, but it's not a Timmy's. I need my Timmy's. So I said, well, listen, I've committed to pray tonight. So here I'm talking to the Lord. I said, I'm going to go on a prayer walk, and I'm going to talk to you while I'm walking. How's that sound? So I'm prayer walking. And I'm just walking over to Tim Hortons here and get a Timmy's while I'm praying, and I have some of Jesus on my Timmy's. So here I'm going there, and then all of a sudden I feel like No, that's not spiritual. I need a longer prayer walk. So I'll walk to the next Timmy's. So I go to the Timmy's that's like from here to way past the base, like the other end of town. I'm not a big walker usually, but it's like all I can think about is stupid Tim Hortons coffee. So I'm praying, and so I get to Tim Hortons, and I'm standing in line, and all of a sudden I feel this tap on my shoulder. And I turn around, there's a guy standing there. He's about 25, and he looks at me and goes, Travis. He goes, no way, I've been looking for you for 7 years. And here it is, a guy standing in front of me that when I was a child and youth worker, I led him to Christ. He became a Christian, and he was doing pretty good. And he sat there and he goes, I've been looking for you. I've been praying to God that I'd be able to find you because I have to talk to you. I'm addicted to. And he started to talk about the drugs he was addicted to. And I said, do you want to get right with God again? He said, yeah, I want you to pray for me, Pastor, and all this stuff. And I began to minister him to the parking lot. And he got free, and he was weeping, and God touched him. And it's like I walked away from that situation. I thought, God, you tricked me. You know, I'm sitting there praying, and I'm like, God, show me your will. Show me your direction for my life, oh God. And all of a sudden, I get a picture of a Tim Hortons cup, and I'm like, sorry, Lord, put that on hold. I'm going to Timmy's. And here, God was behind it. Because I was seeking God for the destination. God, what's my destination in life? And God is saying, I'm not interested in your destination. I'm interested in people. Isn't that good? And so here I am, you know, going across the city to get a cup of coffee. And God's like, oh, great, you want to see my glory? And you know what? I saw his glory in the face of another person weeping in the presence of God. Because, you know, God wasn't concerned. God wasn't sitting in heaven saying, I just want you to sit and hang out with me. Sometimes he does want that. But he's saying, oh, you want to know me? I want to go and meet someone. I want to go and save somebody. I want to go heal somebody. And he'll take you by the hand, and he'll take you with him into the glory of God. Isn't that good? I mean, I'll tell you another story. Some of you might have heard it, but I remember we planted our church in Kingston. I was talking a lot about tithing, the importance of tithing and giving. I think it was even that Sunday. I can't recall. If you give, God will bless you. And so you're always kind of looking for that. You know, listen, I'm a faithful giver, and you're waiting for it to come back, right? You're kind of thinking, hey, where's the blessing of the Lord coming from? So here I am. My wife and I go over to Jisk. It's a brand new store just opened up in Kingston. It's a European store. My wife's European. So they go in. It's the opening day. There's lineups all the way down the street. So Camilla goes in later in the day because she wants to miss the lineups. Store closes at 9. I'm sitting out in the car, because me and shopping don't go well. I'm sitting in the car. It's 9:15. I'm like, where's my wife? The store is closed. They're like, the lights are going off. Like, where's my wife? 9:20. Where's Camilla? I'm going to go in and get her. So I go into the store, and here's my wife going around, and the whole store staff is following her. See, nobody's saying it's closing time, and she's not cluing in because, hey, she's shopping. If no one's saying anything, I'm just shopping, right? And so she's, or at least looking. So she's looking at everything, and the store people are walking around and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, this. And I said, Camilla, they're closed. They're closing the store, honey. She goes, yeah, but nobody said anything. So I go back out to the car. I'm frustrated. And so she comes out, woohoo! I said, what's wrong? She goes, we just won this beautiful leather recliner that folds out and everything. It's worth $400 or whatever. Or more, I don't remember, $750 or something. I said, how did we win that? So she said, well, the thing was, I didn't know this. She said, but the last person in the store that on opening day would win the couch. I said, finally, Lord, it's paid off. She said, see, it's not bad being late. I said, no, don't go there. Anyway. So she comes out and she says that. So she gets in the car, and all of a sudden, I knew it wasn't for us. And so she gets in the car, and so we're driving away, and she's excited. I said, you know what, honey? I said, I know we have a lot of hand-me-downs. We don't have a nice furniture, but I don't think this is for us, right? She goes, what do you mean? I said, I think we're supposed to give it to somebody. In fact, I know we do. And she goes, who are you thinking? I said, And I named the people. I don't want to say who they are in case some of you know them. but they're doctors. We had a church, and we had a doctor and his wife come into our church. So how many doctors make more money than pastors? How many know that? Okay, do the math, right? So I'm sitting there going, are you sure, God? Like, because we have a whole bunch of street people and people living with nothing. Why would you want me to give it to the doctor? So how many learned you can't question God? I mean, because God does stuff that sometimes doesn't make sense to us. So I'm sitting there in my foolishness going, okay, God, like 100 grand plus probably income, and here's all these other people. Why would you want me to give it to them? It doesn't make any sense. They could buy it with pocket change probably. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. So I said, but Lord, whatever, I'll do it. So we pack up the couch. We bring it over to this family. Knock on the door. She comes out. I said, we have a gift for you. And I pulled out this leather recliner and said, God told me this belongs to you. And it's not from me, it's from God. She bursted into tears. Okay? And I said, what? And he was crying. I said, what's going on? She said, you have no idea what happened to me today. She goes, I went into Jisk and I was going through the store and I walked up to this couch and I said to James, my husband, she said, I really want to buy this couch. And then she said, she heard a voice inside say, you're not worthy to have this couch. You're not special enough to have this. And when I showed up and said, God wants you to have it, it was like God said to her, yes, you are. And I was with you in the moment you said you weren't worthy to have it. And I'm saying you're worthy. And see, and that transformed them and brought them to a new level spiritually. Because you know what? God is all about people. Amen? And so I began to see this in my journey in seeking the Lord pressing into God. I began to realize that if our focus is on God, it will soon become about people because God's concerned about people. Amen? And our everything begins to shift. See, we're living in the dispensation of God's grace. The threshold of this dispensation is judgment. There's a time of judgment that's coming, but God's grace is still available. God is still reaching out because he loves. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but he's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God, in this passage of Scripture, they were talking about, did we miss the tribulation, like the judgment and all this stuff? And Peter's saying, hey, listen, God's not, he's being patient for our benefit because he loves us, right? And so God doesn't seem too concerned about himself. He's concerned about people. If you don't believe me, look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 20. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because he has anointed me to have the glory of God come upon me so that everybody will see that I am the Christ. Is that what it says? No. It's to bring good news to the poor. The anointing was for Jesus to bring good news to the poor in spirit. Amen? The anointing was upon Jesus to proclaim that the captives will be released. You don't have to be a prisoner to addiction. You don't have to be a prisoner to drug. You don't have to be a prisoner to emotional constipation. You don't have to be a prisoner anymore. I will set you free. That the blind will see. The anointing was upon Jesus so the oppressed would be set free and to say that the Lord's favor has come. And so when the anointing came upon Jesus, it was for the benefit of people. Isn't that good? God, Jesus wasn't looking to be served. Jesus says, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. That's my heart. The heart of God doesn't think about himself. God's not concerned about himself. He loves our worship. He loves our praise. He loves our presence, just like we love his. Amen? But it's not what it's all about. In John chapter 21, verse 17, Jesus said, he said it two times before, but a third time he said, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was hurt that Jesus asked him the question a third time, and he said, Lord, you know everything. you know that I love you. And Jesus said, then feed my sheep. See, Peter's mantle, Peter's calling was to feed people the truth of God. Amen? And a sign of maturity is when there's a heart to serve God's people, to serve those who don't know God. That's the heart of maturity, because when you begin to know God, when you begin to meet with God, you begin to realize that God is on a mission to reach people, to heal people, to save people, because he's healed already. God is perfection. Amen? And so how many are getting anything out of this morning? Anybody? Okay. All right, we're going to look at five reasons, at least five, why we should serve God's people. Okay, number one is to ensure the Lord's blessing on our life. Amen? You can write it down if you're taking notes. Number one, to ensure the Lord's blessing. Acts chapter 20, verse 35, we'll read it here. It says, I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so you're ensuring the blessing of God when you're giving. That's what Neil was talking about this morning. All right. The next one, number two, to offer my spiritual gifts in service to God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. It says here, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracle of God. If anyone ministers, let him do so with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. All right? And so here we got gifts. If God's given you a gift, guess what? It's not for you. It's a gift to somebody else through you. Amen? And that was the greatest revelation. So, you know, someone says, well, you have a gift of word of knowledge. Like, I have an incredible gift of word of knowledge upon my life. I don't use it here because you guys, I know all you guys, I know your situation, so it wouldn't be. But when I go minister sometimes, there's a gift, but it's not my gift. It's God's gift to others. Amen? You might have a gift of healing, but it's not your gift. It's God's gift for others. Isn't that good? And so God wants to give you gifts. He wants those gifts. He already has given you those gifts. He wants to train you in them, but they're for the benefit of the body of Christ. They're not for us. Number three, another reason why we should serve God's people, to fulfill the whole law. If you want to fulfill the Ten Commandments, right? Jesus didn't come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law. By giving us the Holy Spirit, we have the power to fulfill the law because our heart's transformed. Let's look at what it says here. To fulfill the whole law, Galatians 5, verse 13 and 14. It says here, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Next verse. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Here's a question. When you have slipped up, made a mistake, and sinned, how did you want God to treat you? Think about that. And then go to your brother who has sinned and do likewise. Amen? We want mercy for us, but I got to point the finger at others. Amen? So, let's move on. Six reasons why we should serve God, God's people. Because Jesus set the example. John 13, 12, and 14 says this. And so, when he had washed their feet, taken his garment and sat down again, he said to them, Do you know what I've done for you or to you? Next verse. You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for I am so, right? And next verse. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. And so Jesus set us an example. He said, hey, listen, I'm your teacher. I'm doing it. You're the student. Student follows teacher. Teacher does it. You do it. Amen? And the North American church has all been about power and authority and anointing and all that stuff, and is rubbish. So I'm going to tell you this. If you seek him and he sends you out to minister to people, he'll anoint you to proclaim healing to those around you. It's an outflow of the love of God. It's not positional power. It's submissional power. That's good. That just came out of me. Where did that come from? Must have been the Holy Ghost. Amen? And here's another one here. Proverbs 11:25. I will reap spiritual nourishment if I do so. It says here, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. You want the water of the Holy Ghost in your life? You want to be you want nutrition? You want to feel God's presence? Go out and touch somebody. Go out and love somebody. Go out and minister to somebody, and you will be watered also. Isn't that good? There's number six, but I'm going to share that one for next week. Just going to keep that from you. You know, God is good, isn't he? And God's calling us to serve. And I want to say this, God is all about people. But and you know what that means? When you're all about people, you truly love people, you will exhort, rebuke, and correct. Amen? I'm not talking about being seeker-friendly. I'm not talking about letting people get away. The true love, I love my kids. And if my kids come to me and say, hey, Daddy, can I have candy bars and chips for lunch, breakfast, and supper? I'm going to say, no, you're going to eat veggies and care. And they don't like it, but because I care for them, I'm going to make sure they have the right nutrition. Amen? So when a preacher gets up and preaches a message that is like candy floss in people's ears, it's kind of like it's all this love, fluffy, greasy grace, sloppy agape. Oh, God is love, God is love, and there's nothing else. What you're actually doing is you're saying, I don't care about people. I care about myself and my ministry. Does that make sense? I don't mean to be harsh, but it's a reality. If you truly care about people, what do? You correct them, you rebuke them, because you want them to grow, you want them to be healthy, you want to give them a healthy diet so that they can grow up to be mature in God and be effective in the kingdom. Does that make sense? Amen? So when I say God's all about people, that means he cares. That means that I'm going to stand up, and if somebody's in sin, I'm going to say, you're in sin, and you need to repent. Why? Because I care about you. I don't want to see you go off the rails and end up in a bad place. I'll tell you in love. I'm not going to, but we need to learn to be like that. Amen? Is that okay? Because too many people just say, well, I don't want to offend somebody. Why? Because you don't love them. I mean, this is some good preaching, guys. Come on. I mean, if you're not going to shout, at least stone me or something so I can feel effective. I mean, come on. So God is calling us to serve. God is calling us to serve one another. And I believe that this church is a church who has, like, we have great volunteers in this church. We have 75 people on the planning center that are serving in the house of God. One of the things we're going to be doing in the near future is setting up a partnership. It's almost like a membership. And a partnership, when you come on as a partner, it's going to be like being in a family. See, I have four kids and my wife, and we sit down, and every child has a chore. Every person has a responsibility for the house. Amen? And so if you're going to be a partner in the church or a member, you have a responsibility to serve in the house because we're a family. There's no bench warmers anymore. You know what I mean? And we've got a good start in this church because mostly everybody serves. But as we grow and as revival, Neil was sharing just earlier how that we have to prepare the nets. And if we're not thinking like God, like, hey, God cares about these people coming in, they're going to come in and they're going to go to the back door and we won't even know we missed the harvest. Amen? We won't even know we missed them. They'll have been here and they will have left and we might have missed the next Billy Graham. We might have missed the next Dynamite Kids Ministry worker because God will use people. You know, I remember we don't realize how our service unto God, how it pays off. We'll only know in eternity. I went to preach, I remember about 15 years ago, I went to preach. I was just starting off in ministry and I went to preach at this little church called Rowena in Cornwall. And we had gone there for probably a year when I was younger. And there was a woman who came up for prayer and she looked familiar, but I couldn't remember who she was. And I had a prayer, and I remember praying for her, and I believe she got healed that night. God touched her powerfully. She came up for prayer, and she looked at me. She says, you know, I was your Sunday school teacher. And I said, that's who, I couldn't, you know, probably because of all the drugs I did, I couldn't remember who, but I knew who she was, and I'm looking at her, and I'm going, who, and then she told me, and I said, and it hit me, God spoke to me, said, see, she has invested, and I told her, I said, look, you're part of the reason why I'm here, because you sowed seed in my life, and now you're reaping a harvest of healing through the person you sowed seeds into. Isn't that awesome? How God will just cycle, he uses us, amen? In spite of us, that's right. God is good. So as the church continues to grow, we'll need more volunteers. You know, we didn't have anyone to volunteer for the nursery today because people were sick, you know, so that's understandable. But we want to build. The ministry upstairs in the next year or two is going to grow. We're going to talk about it at the annual meeting, but we're going to put some money into the upstairs. We're going to renovate the upstairs this year. Anita's been doing a phenomenal job with the kids. Can I hear it for Anita? Anita and Peter? They're upstairs today, but they're going to hear the recording later. But she's doing a great job with the curriculum, with the workers. And what we want to do is we want to invest in that area upstairs, invest in programs in that so that when people come, they can bring their kids and they'll hear the truth. Amen? And so we're going to put some money into there. And so we have to be ready for the harvest. And I believe in the next year and a half, we're going to begin to see harvest, and we're going to be a church that's ready, and we're going to be a church that's on the cutting edge of what God's doing, and God's into people. God's all about people. And so we're going to be all about people. Why? Because God's all about people. Amen? We're not going to be all about ourselves. We're going to be all about others. And it's incredible. And so next week, when I continue this message a little bit, I'll talk on point number 6, which is increasing in boldness and in faith. There's promises that if you serve in the local church, there's actually verses, I'm going to show you that, that God will increase your level of faith and boldness and authority in the Holy Ghost. Isn't that good? I'm going to show you that in Scripture. Because God will pour out His Spirit on those who are serving His purposes, and His purposes people. God is good, isn't He? Awesome. What I'd like to do this morning, if we could stand, we're going to pray. And then we got 10 minutes. I want to do that worship song again, the new one. That was really good, about the river. How many like that? That was really cool. So if you're in the... you're in this place and you just really feel the Holy Spirit is touching your heart about serving at serving the Lord with a fresh, like almost like a realignment of your focus into serving God. I want you to just pray this prayer with me. I'll bring you, Tiana, if you want to come to the piano, that'd be great. Or whoever's playing the piano. We're going to do the worship. Wow. Hallelujah. We got good people in this church. You guys are good people. And you know what? I've only ever heard that literally from Cameron and Sandra. Haven't been here for 12, 13 years. They came once between then. But he says, you got like hungry, qualified, good people. Like he was here ministering. And I hear the same thing from every people. There's an atmosphere in this place for growth. Amen? And I think that as a church, we're going to be on the cutting edge of what God's doing because we're going to be in the field with Him. And that doesn't mean you have to be an evangelist. You can serve God's people without talking to the unsaved. There's all kinds of work to do. Kids ministry, youth ministry, preteens ministry, you know, addiction counseling, whatever it is. We can get you stuff to do, but we're going to see the kingdom of God expand. And we're going to be cutting edge. I just believe that God's going to use us to set an example for others. This is the way church has to be done. Amen? Can I say that without sounding proud? I mean, obviously, let's be a church that sets an example for others. Say, this is how you love. This is how you serve. This is because we want to be in the core center of what God is doing. And if God is all about people, we're going to be all about people. Amen? If He's out into the harvest field, we're going with Him. We're not going to sit anymore and be cozy in our church. We're going to go and do something. Amen? And it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. It's an adventure. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just we come before you right now. We thank you for this word, Lord. It's exciting. It's exciting to be your children, God. We love it. And thank you that you're going to realign us a little bit to just focus on loving people, giving and serving in any way we can. In Jesus' name. If you're with me, just pray this prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, help me just to realign my thinking. When I'm in your presence, you can speak to me concerning which direction to go. Lead me through the week. Prepare situations for me to minister to others. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll just share one more story and then we'll do that worship song. I was in Bible school and there was this, I heard this story, it was so funny that one of the teachers was saying that there was this young guy just all like on fire for Jesus, just got saved, he's a teenager, you know, just like totally on fire, radical, just doesn't know too much of the Bible, and he's sitting out in his car and he's praying, he's saying, God, I'll do anything you tell me to do, God, anything, just, I want to show you how much I love you, just tell me to do it, I'll do anything, and he heard a voice speak to him inside. I said, okay, go into that convenience store and stand on your head. Do a handstand beside the pop machine. I'm serious. So the guy's like, really? Like, he's like, no, that can't be God, right? But then the thought wouldn't leave, and he was starting to feel real bad about it. So he's like, all right, God. So he goes into the convenience store, and he goes up, stands up on his head beside the Coke machine, and he begins to hear a guy behind the counter weeping, turns around, the guy at the cash is bawling. He looks and goes, what's wrong with you, man? He said, I'm really sorry. Did I really offend you? Like, he didn't know what was going on. The guy's crying. He said, what's going on? And he went over and they talked. The guy said, I just prayed a prayer and I said, God, if you're real, send someone in here to stand on their head beside the pot machine. Now that's crazy. But here's a guy going, God, I want to know you. And God's like, oh, great. Here's someone I can use to reach somebody else. Great. Because God's always thinking about somebody else. Isn't that awesome? And that's what God's going to do in our lives. It's a beautiful time to be alive. God's going to start aligning us with situations. It's going to be good. Well, let's finish with this song, and then let's go on with Jesus.
Okay. Well, we don't have a...